Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you for joining me this morning at 10:30 a.m.-ish. Anyway, I'm excited about this show. Of course, I seem to be excited about every show. Again, we're going to be talking about Nancy Guthrie and have a really important point I wanted to discuss, and that's specifically concerning why in the world with $1.2 million that could be life-changing, right? $1.2 million to most people, even after taxes, 33% out, is still a significant amount. Why hasn't anyone come forward? What in the world is going on? So I want to do a deep dive today to talk about that. Why in the world has no one come forward to turn in Porch Guy? We're going to go through the main possibilities. And then I've got a little something I'm going to say that I'm afraid is going to be a little bit controversial, but I'm still going to say it. I'm kind of on a, I call it a spicy Jen run. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, right now I'm on a spicy run over this whole scientist deal. I don't want to digress. Everybody is here to talk about Nancy. But I tell you, for those of you who haven't watched it, take a look at the Amy Eskridge video that came out and people trying to spin that. It's unbelievable, especially when you look at Amy Eskridge, you know, wonderful young lady, graduated from not the University of Alabama, from Alabama Huntsville, totally different animal, started her own fringe type scientific company. Even the name of it shows you that it's, you know, it was an accredited, it's pseudoscience, saying nothing negative. She was studying kind of anti-gravity thoughts and philosophies and things, but not necessarily science-based. Never worked for the government, never had top secret clearance, and there's a video that's come out, and it's really sad. And I talk a lot about it on Twitter, just in terms of seeing it so many times, working with the FBI, people who are having episodes where they're paranoid, and it's terrible. And you're seeing that unfold on that video. It doesn't make much sense. Of course, typically many of them never go to the authorities. If they do, they go to the FBI. And of course, she unequivocally, absolutely killed herself with a gun. There's nothing that doesn't say that. Her family says that. That's what happened. And I think this is so difficult for them to resurface. But this video surfaced, and wow, does it show, in my opinion, somebody going through a complete break of sorts. And anyway, not to digress, because I digressed again. But we're going to talk about Porch Guy today. And I wanted to just say quickly, and I hope you don't mind it. Sometimes I get off on tangents. A lot of times I refer back to my job in the FBI, those years, because really that is the lens I'm looking through when I'm evaluating evidence. With every case I ever had, always learned something. Actually, every day I learned something about something, but with cases, I always learned every day something. And now in the expert witness field, the same thing. Every day, I primarily about 95% of my work is in homicides. And every day I learned something different, either with a crime scene or with a motive or with the evidence that exists. It's really eye-opening. I call it time behind the tiller. You know, if you're a sailor, the more time you have sailing, the more you discover in terms of how to be a better sailor. It's the same here. So anyway, sometimes I digress, just like I'm doing now, just like I did at the beginning. And I hope that's okay with y'all. If it's not, put it in comments. I definitely want to provide a show that gives you the kind of information that you're here for. And I think I've always done this. So anyway, I had one comment saying, I'm digressing too much. So apologies if I am. We're going to stay on point right now in terms of why Porch Guy has not been turned in. Okay. And this is in no particular order. No particular order. Okay. Number one, no one recognizes him. In all seriousness, everyone in this country has so many things going on with their lives. They have, excuse me, let me get this up on the screen because he's what's important. They have soccer games. They have work. They have their gardening club. They have their friends. They play Mahjong. They play tennis. They play pickleball. My son's interest, even though he's a subscriber on my show, he will never miss Barstool Sports podcast. Every day he listens to it, no matter what. He doesn't listen to mine necessarily, unless on this case he's listened a little. He's not a true crimer. It's not his passion. It's not what floats his boat. It's what floats our boat, right? It's important to us. We believe in advocacy. We believe in truth. We believe in keeping cases out there. We believe in cussing and discussing these cases. So it makes sense. But we're a small, small minority of the world. Some people don't listen to any news. They're just trying to make it, trying to make ends meet, get up early, grab their coffee and their toast, go to work, come back at 5 at night. They're tired. They have dinner. They see their kids as best they can, and they do it all over again. I mean, that is really the reality of people's lives. This is more for us that have this passion. So there's a big chance that people who would be in and around Porch Guy don't even know this case is going on. And I know you're saying, you'd have to live under a rock to not know this case is going on. And I always say, please go out of this circle and ask other people, and they will very, very minutely, if they know anything, know what's going on. I ask all the time. For instance, if I'm on a plane and the person seems friendly and I'm in a mood to talk, usually I have my headphones on, I'm not listening. But the other day I was sitting next to somebody, and for whatever reason, we just kind of struck up this conversation. I really liked him. He was a nice, nice guy. And we got to, I always ask, you know, by any chance, are you a true crimer? You know, that sounds corny, but as you're talking to somebody and you're on a plane with them for 3 hours, things like that come up. Especially, I always ask, what do you do for a living, you know? And they usually ask the same. So anyway, this guy was not a true crimer, but his wife was an insatiable true crimer. So when we landed, he told her, he said, I'll check and see if she knows her, meaning, or if my wife knows you. She knew me. It was so great. And it was just really kind of cool. And so if you ask around, some people just will never know any true crime. I always used to ask, because I flew back and forth to Boston a lot, and I would ask, this was after Karen Reed, I would ask everybody on the plane back then, do you know that case? No one knew that case, very few. And you would think, living in Boston, everyone knew. It seems like everybody knows because of what we see on Twitter and what we saw in mainstream media and things, but it's just like a reality check that people really, unless you're into this, you're not going to know, especially since, remember, the Nancy Guthrie case, who, of course, we're discussing, particularly Nancy Guthrie, again, for those who don't know, she disappeared on February 1st. She was abducted. She didn't disappear. That's a terrible word. She was abducted. She was taken. No one disappears except on Star Trek. No one. There is a logical Occam's razor reason why people go missing. Always. They leave and decide to take their own lives. They leave and decide to be voluntarily missing. They leave and a terrible accident befalls them. There are so many reasons why, but it's never because they were swooped up by aliens or because a Star Trek. We can't do that yet. I fully expect, since everything has come through from the Jetsons, for those of you old enough, I remember watching the Jetsons. And do you remember those big TVs where you could actually see the person you were talking to? Like the mobile TVs, the little robots that could clean, you know, what was her name? Susie, Sally, I think it was Sally, you know, go around and clean. She actually was, you know, more animated than just, you know, the little ones you can get now for $600, $700. But there are robots now that can clean. Everything from the Jetsons has come to pass. Everything. And it's fully available to most of us, most things. The things that haven't yet, but that will come to pass are, they've already been created. They're just not in mass production, are the, you know, the levitating aircraft, you know, that you could just fly across town in now instead of using roads. But that's coming. I mean, I fully expect our kids to have that. You know, we have cell phones. When I was young, we didn't have any cell phones. Nobody used a credit card. My parents didn't have credit cards or debit cards or anything like that. We used cash. Nothing was plastic and tracked and all of that. I mean, up until my father's death, And my parents, my biological parents, very little use. They actually do have credit cards. But my point is that these advancements are going to only continue. And I'm hoping these advancements help solve this case. But nevertheless, it's very possible no one that knows him has seen Porch Guy or even knows about this case. Keep that in mind. Number two, people know about this case. People know about this photo. People have seen the footage. And guess what? They are fiercely loyal. Fiercely loyal. Ask yourself this question. And I've asked myself as well. Ask yourself this question. Assuming you are tightly close with your children and you love them more than you love yourself. And assume for a minute, because you have to add this component in, that your belief in justice and I'll call it justice in somebody being held accountable is far less than your conviction to your children. Because you can be very convicted to your children and not cover for them. Because your higher standard, if you will, is to God and to justice and to general morality. That is your high, that you answer to that more, more importantly than the loyalty you have to your children. So assume all of that is true. And you know exactly who this is. This is your son. You recognize the eyes, those eyebrows, that mustache that is way up here. And there's a big gap. You recognize that kind of odd, almost bow-legged gait. You recognize that he wears a ring. You recognize that eye that just barely fades in. You recognize your son. I 100% can tell you, garbed up like this, I would recognize my son, either of my sons. You know that he shops at Walmart. You think you might have even seen this backpack at some point. You know this is your son. But you're passionately loyal to him. You're passionately loyal. There's no way that any sense of morality, any sense of overarching right from wrong, any sense of God or spiritual right from wrong morality type sentiment is going to override you not wanting your son to face the death penalty, because you know it's likely she is dead and you know that they have the death penalty there. So you know if you go forward, you're going to be putting your son to death, most likely. So this could be another possibility. You absolutely know about this case. You know your son is porch guy, and I'm just using son. It could be brother. It could be husband. But you know. But there's no way you're going to say. No way. The other thing is, number three, you're fiercely afraid of porch guy. You know what he did. You've been tracking the case. You know, again, say this is your son or your brother or your husband. But you know what? No way in hell are you coming forward. If he gets any inkling that you're acting in any way suspicious, you know you could be next. Do you know how many people don't come forward in cases? In cases where murders are involved, in cases where serious, heinous acts are involved, sexual assaults, incest, robberies where people are beaten, severe beatings, leaving people completely incapacitated for the rest of their lives. Do you know how many people come forward? Not many. Even when you force them, say you have to testify before the grand jury, like what's happened in the D4VD, Celeste Rivas, young girl, 14 dead, chopped up into pieces, put in the front trunk of a Tesla, and people are refusing to talk. Under subpoena, escaping subpoena, being arrested for evading the subpoena, finally going before a grand jury and barely being up on the stand. Probably came back though. I think he's going to probably talk in that case. I'm talking about Neo in the case of Celeste Rivas, but I'm trying not to digress, but I'm just giving you one example, and there's so many examples. It's just the facts of working violent crime for all these years. People do not want to come forward out of fear. They don't want to be up on that witness stand someday. They don't want to have an FBI agent testifying as to what they said, or an officer with a report or a video recording of them. They don't want to get involved. They're afraid. They want nothing to do with it. Now, that might seem odd. It might seem like, geez, where's the morality in people? You know, it's like what Robin Dreek said in his analysis of people and working in counterterrorism and human behavior. Because those people, the people that do that kind of crime, are sort of different than the people that I worked. And that's why I loved having Robin Dreek on. If you have not caught that show, please take a look. He is so good. Naval Academy grad, FBI agent for 20 years. The guy is good. And one of the main things he passed on, and I totally agree with this, people are motivated by what helps them. Right? In his situation, he's trying to recruit spies. So you have to offer up something that is appealing to them over their possible patriotic feelings toward their own country. So in this case, what is appealing for these people to come forward? So we're not putting ourselves in our shoes or in any other shoes, but those people, not in porch guy's shoes, but in the shoes of the people. If there is somebody who actually knows him and is afraid, there is nothing that is going to convince them if they're afraid of porch guy. or whoever else is behind this, there is nothing that's going to convince them to come forward. Zero. And I know that from my experience. All right, let's move on to number four. I've got kind of a long list, guys. $1.2 million on the table. But you know what? And they know who this is, and they think they're peripheral enough that they're not afraid, and they're not passionately loyal to this guy. That's not it. But you know what? They don't trust the government. I tell you, we are in a day and age. I don't know if anybody trusts the government. Sometimes I don't trust the government. I'm watching all this stuff with the science stuff and these political leaders of ours using it. I think that's why I'm so enraged about that case. And sorry, I keep going back and forth. And I don't want to say enraged, but why I'm passionate about it. They're using this for political gain because they see that there's this wave of sentiment without anybody looking at the facts of the individual scientists and what happened. If you don't start there and you just want to weave them together, and they're not even scientists. I mean, that's what kills me on half of this. Some of them are science-based, but they're teachers. They don't work for the government. No one had clearance. Four people out of 11 had clearance, everyone. Most were educators. Some worked in the private industry. Most of them worked like in pharmaceuticals or something completely different. One was a DNA analyst. They don't have some big, heavy nuclear secrets that, by the way, thousands of other people don't have. And people, I mean, I literally heard this social media person who has her own podcast who I don't understand how anybody could possibly listen to this woman say, on TV, by the way, could be a government conspiracy. No, the U.S. government does not care about somebody who worked at MIT and studied plasma. Oh, and by the way, the case has completely been solved. The person admitted to it, and they have all the evidence, including their vehicle in their driveway or in front of their house, and the connection made. I'm speaking about Nuno Lorero, who was killed by the MIT shooter. They've actually got him lumped in here. No top secret clearance, never worked for the government. He literally taught students about plasma. And this person says that anyway, I'm so sorry. I digress again. Sorry. Okay. But back to my point. They don't trust the government. They don't trust the government. And so because of that, they don't trust that even if they come forward, that they're going to get paid. They don't trust that. They think that if they come forward, the money is going to be withheld. And I got to tell you, I get it. I looked at, because this drove me crazy at the time, for those of you who know this case, do you remember when second in charge of this particular incarceration facility, her name was White, the last name was White, she had blonde hair. She was not just a guard. She was number two over this particular facility. And interestingly enough, the guy she was having a sexual liaison affair with. I mean, there's video of them going in. There's oodles of evidence about their relationship. His last name was White too, which was just coincidental. But the White, she ends up breaking him out in a very, you know, covert way, right? She's going to personally drive him to this appointment. She gets him out. They skate. They leave. And then finally, they realize, oh my gosh, she just broke him out. Does everybody remember that? If you do, remember in chat. It was a fascinating case. She ended up dead, by the way. A lot of people think he killed her, but it's predominantly believed by the evidence at the scene and what law enforcement determined is that she took her own life. She took her own life. After this car chase, he remains incarcerated, obviously under much stricter guidelines, but it was a sad case. The reason I'm talking about this case is very relevant to what we're talking about. The reason that the law enforcement got onto him, at least part of the reasons, was a car wash operator that reported that he thought he saw him at his car wash. I don't know if you remember this. There was a $5,000 reward that was offered. He wanted the reward, and he saw him, and his information was great. So he calls up. How many of you think he got the reward? He didn't. He didn't get the reward. Mm-mm. In fact, what they said was that he didn't get the reward because somebody else, an anonymous person, had better information that more closely helped them get the whites. Now, I'm not saying I disbelieve that. I'm just saying you have got to either split that reward. And by the way, that one was only $5,000. Or you've got to just pay both out of your slush fund reward fund. How many other rewards have you ever paid? Rewards are put out there. They are seldom ever paid. I can tell you that. Almost never. Because they have all these caveats leading to the arrest and conviction of. That's what you're going to see in this reward, the 1.2. Arrest and conviction attached to it. And that's going to attach up to, even though there's three really rewards, right? The FBI's offered $100,000, which is one of the highest reward amounts I've seen. There was $50,000 that they hired in the Sebastian Rogers case, by the way, but only $100,000 in Nancy Guthrie's. Isn't that interesting? She wouldn't offer $100,000 in Sebastian Rogers, a 15-year-old autistic kid, still gone. But you offer $100 in this. That is called political pressure, my friends. That's what happens behind the scenes. And it's wrong, but it happened. All right. An individual donor who was kind enough to also cough up another $100,000. So that's $200,000. Then $1 million, of course, offered by the Guthries. And I want to also point out they offered, not offered, but they gave $500,000 to Nick Mick too, to say, listen, we understand our mom is missing. She's 84. It's such a sad situation, but we also understand that there are a lot of missing children out there and we care about that. And we're going to offer that up. So I thought that was a very kind offering that they made as well. But these rewards are so often touted and offered, but they have a lot of strings attached and people don't get paid. And I tell you, that car wash guy, what's interesting is the public thought it was such baloney and they did a give, go send me, go fund me, whatever fund. And they got him paid. They got him paid well over the $5,000 because you and me and citizenry, it boils our blood to see a promise made and not delivered on, especially something like this. You put yourself out there, you are alert, you're one of the few people that really are tracking all this news, and then you make the call, you take the time to be on hold forever or to pester until finally somebody picks up, send a bunch of email until finally somebody answers, and then you don't get paid on it. That's a problem. And I believe that that is squarely a reason here that perhaps, again, nobody is turning him in. Again, a peripheral person that isn't worried about being scared. They're not passionately loyal. It's because they don't trust the government. They don't think they're going to get it. So why are they going to do it? And again, to understand, I'm talking about the group of people that doesn't have that fierce sense of morality in this way. In other words, most people don't even need to be given money to do the right thing. I truly believe that. Most people truly want to do the right thing. But for those who don't want to get involved, They don't think they're going to get the money. They distrust the government for reasons that make a lot of sense. They're not coming forward. Number five.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is a big one, and this is something that any behavioral analysis person trained will tell you. And something that you see, and I'll name a case, which I don't necessarily believe it, but it's a case you all know about, is Madeline Soto and Jennifer Soto, the mom. Remember that interview? She's letting her boyfriend sleep with her young daughter. Ugh, they all three slept in the same bed. The daughter in the middle. She let the boyfriend take the daughter because he wanted to sleep with her. And she says she just couldn't believe it. She just couldn't believe. I mean, she was going to bond him out. She's totally stayed in his corner. And her premise is she didn't believe it. Now, do I believe that? Not really. I think a big part of her knew. Nevertheless, I think what she did was criminal, because that's criminally negligent to allow your little girl to be sexually assaulted. I mean, all those pictures, thousands of pictures, it's so gross and gruesome. I'm still angry about that case. Wow, this is really spicy, Jen, today, because they didn't seek the death penalty against him when Florida has the death penalty, both for people who sexually assault young kids, and she was 12 or below when it all began. So she perfectly met statute, but even if it didn't, he killed her. And they have the death penalty, and one of the swiftest death penalties. And you know what? They gave that guy a deal, even with all the evidence they had. How do you do that? I discussed this in large detail with Dave Ehrenberg, and we both were just mind blown about that. But why do I mention that? I mention that because Jennifer Soto, that's her excuse for not turning him in, because she just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it was him. So we have to consider that, that somebody actually sees it's him, thinks this is their brother, whoever it might be, and they discuss it. And they're like, no way. Kind of like what happened in Brian Koberger with the sisters. They kind of thought, they knew about some pretty dicey stuff in his past, his issues. They're like, yeah, but quadruple murder with a K-bar knife? Nah. And people tend to do that when it's somebody you love. I've seen it. Ones that I believe, not Jennifer Soto, but others that I believe. It's not even the ostrich in with the head in the sand, not wanting to look. It's not Sergeant Schultz, I see nothing. Wow, that's going back, Hogan's Heroes. I am really dating myself today. But it's really talking about people that it's just hard for them to believe that person they love, that person they've been around, even though there's signs that they would be involved in this. So that's another possibility. All right, number six. This is a big one. What if he's dead? What if he's dead? What if it is more than one? Again, I'll show you one of my favorite photos. Oh, that's not the one. Right here, there's a HT that is not a jammer. That was absolutely blown up. It's ridiculous. He wouldn't have grabbed it off the porch guy grabs the thing. The photo is perfectly clear that we have. There's no sign of a jammer. The Wi-Fi signal is the same as the Bluetooth signal. It's the same frequency. And the pacemaker wasn't disrupted until she was out. So there's no jammer. I know people said they had a disruption in service and they were looking at that in terms of service in and around this time in that neighborhood. The electrical box wasn't messed with, but this is no jammer. This, I believe, is an HT antenna, which means there would have been more than one involved. And that's why a long time ago when I did a show on that, I was blown away. Because I've always believed there would have been more than one involved, but this to me tells me there's more than one involved. So what if, and remember, there's a couple premises here. For instance, one of my favorites, Mac, she's convinced this is a lone fella. This guy is a wackadoodle. I call him wackadoodles. My friend Robin Drake calls them nutters. Everybody has a word. And you know what, guys? We're cussing and discussing. These are very serious subjects, but we all have our own terminology. I know somebody got mad because or didn't like that Robin Drake. And there was somebody in the stream yesterday. I kept looking over and noticing. I wouldn't doubt if it was Sheriff Nanos himself under a different name, or if not him, one of his minions, because every single thing about Sheriff Nanos was positive. And I'm not saying that there isn't positive to clean from Sheriff Nanos, because nobody is 100% negative, but this just really pounded hard. And how unprofessional to call him an idiot. Well, it was funny because then I looked at some of the later comments, and I mean, that's one of the nicest things Sheriff Nanos has been called. So suffice it to say, he's done some idiot things. And we're going to call it like we see it. And we're cussing and discussing now. And so, you know, if he wants to call him an idiot, someone on my show, and that's their feelings, well, it's based on letting the crime scene go early. It's based on not sending the lab or the DNA to the FBI lab. It's based on something. So nevertheless, I call them wackadoodles. What if this was more of an assassin, more of somebody paid, more of somebody hired? You know, as I said, Mac thinks he's a wackadoodle, obsessed with Savannah, obsessed with the Guthries, angry. And I tell you what, the passion in this kind of a case, in this particular case, judging again by those two notes, if the two notes never would have been linked and what we had to know was strictly this guy goes in and does this, I say it's just a ransom gone bad. And I still think it was a ransom gone bad in a sense. But the fact that these notes would be written, in my view, after Nancy Guthrie was dead, and really in a way to terrorize this family, the two notes, and if those other notes end up being related at all. Remember, Nancy went back. The minute she goes back, another note is written. It's the same modus operandi. In terms of, it's the same, let's reach out to these stations. Let's try to get Bitcoin. Let's write in this intelligent way. Separate Bitcoin addresses. So it just makes me wonder, even though they haven't said, they've only talked about the two notes, but somebody loves torturing this family. And that would go with Mac's wackadoodle theory, that this is just an Alan Hinckley. The reason I can't buy into that is because, and it could be true, but the reason I can't fully buy into it is they typically go after the person. I would expect something more like a letter bomb or something that would try to hurt her more directly than her mom. But maybe they just felt they couldn't get to her. And obviously they're in and around this Tucson area, so this would have been easier. Karen Cardwell, one of my faves. I would watch a Jen Digress show where you just talk to us about all of your thoughts and that you have on any case. Thank you so much. You know what? We have fun here. We cuss and discuss. We're serious. We deal with facts. We're not all about, you know, diming out other people. This isn't a drama show. But thank you so much. I do digress. I probably won't stop. Maybe I'll limit it a little bit. But, you know, I love to see digression. I see it all the time in the chat where maybe it's not exactly on point. But I love to glance over and read the thoughts. And thank you, Krista23. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But I tell you what, it's fun. I love it when I come on in the mornings. And I think this is a good time frame. And again, I paid attention to what you all said. I was doing a show between about 8 and 8:30. And a lot of West Coasters said, just Jen, 5:30 in the morning is so early. And, you know, I get it. I mean, that's an early time to start your day. And if you don't go to work anyway, or if you're getting ready for work, have to get your kids ready for work, that's an early time. And this time seems to really be working out because a lot of you mentioned this time. I also like doing 5 o'clock shows sometimes, but I tell you, this might be the best time frame. I know weekends are the best, so I'm going to continue to do, you know, the weekend time frame. This weekend on Saturday, it's probably going to be from a remote location, probably be a shorter show, but we're going to have it. We're going to get on here because it's really important, I think, to be consistent, because if not, how are you going to be involved? In other words, I'd love to see the consistency with you all here. And I know you want to see the consistency with having shows and talking about these cases that mean so much to you. So we'll continue with that. All right. So again, what if he's dead? And I'm serious about this. If somebody else really pulled the strings on this, and this is some minion, which I'm not 100% convinced of that, but just we're entertaining logical avenues in this very specific realm. They could have offed him. He's been caught on camera. They clearly didn't want him caught on camera. He thinks they have their back. What if they didn't? Now, again, that's believing that there's more than one involved. Mac McCollum is very convinced it's just one. She's not sure she sees that antenna, and I really respect that. That's why I love having her on. We both come from different places. We both disagreed about the Delphi case too. You know, she very much believed that they got the right guy, and I very much believe they probably didn't. But we can intelligently and respectfully talk about these cases and explain why we have different views and still respect each other at the end of the day, not call each other names. And I really respect her point of view. I really do. She makes one of the biggest things she says is, so you're just telling me, and this is the one that's bothering me. You're telling me that it's just unlucky that porch guy keeps appearing on camera. In other words, we know January 11th likely is that other porch guy video where he doesn't have the backpack on, he doesn't have the gun, doesn't have the holster. You're telling me it's just lucky. And then I go back and I say, yeah, but that was his job. His job was the porch and to pull off the camera. Whose job was to get in the back? Whose job was to go in the back? Was it his? After he pulled the camera, did he go in the back? It just seems to me that this was thought out very well. And the reason they needed the camera down was to bring her out toward the front because they had a car there and they were going to get her in the car. They're not going to walk her around this huge estate house. I don't have a picture of the house today, but this house it's sprawling. There's a cabana house. There's a pool area. There's two cameras up top. And even though, sadly, law enforcement missed them, remember, they had to go back and get them. Even though law enforcement missed them, I have no doubt that these guys might have seen them. They weren't going to get up on the roof and snag them. They knew it was pitch dark, so there would only be an image. But remember, at 2:12, they're caught on camera. At least one person is caught on camera at 2:12. Is it porch guy? Is it his accomplice? Somebody else dress up like porch guy? I've seen that so many times where they wear very similar clothing. Very similar. Most likely it's porch guy, but we don't know. The shoes were different. The shirt was different. We just don't know for sure. But it's a possibility that if there's more than one involved, porch guy could be dead. It's a possibility. We can't discount that. Because again, he was the one caught on camera. So is he kind of the dumb patsy with his holster right on his fly in the Walmart cheap backpack? Nothing against Walmart or cheap backpacks, by the way. I'm just calling it for what it is. Has to be considered. If you got two guys involved in this and one's dead, no one else to come forward. Even if somebody recognizes porch guy, he wouldn't be around. I'm just saying it has to be considered. I'm not saying porch guy's dead. I'm saying it has to be considered. This leads to the question that I just cannot leave alone. And that is, these are the billboards. I think there's 23. That's strictly from my memory in talking to the company, the vice president of the company in Arizona that put these up. I mean, she's in Arizona, but she's the vice president that was in charge of doing all this for the FBI. Why isn't porch guy's face on there? The FBI is the only one that can do this and make the change. So I respect that, but that company told me they could easily change it over. All of these that are up, put porch guy's face right over there and put Nancy's face smaller. Just bam. Nobody saw Nancy in Houston, in Albuquerque, in California. No one. I think she was gone well before anything like that. They could have gone to Mexico, by the way. It does not escape me that Nancy's husband died in Sonora and the note writers mentioned Sonora. These note writers know this family. Was the whole kidnapping, because Nancy Guthrie discussed kidnapping in her book and how her dad would kidnap her in the middle of the night and take her for ice cream or take her to a 24-hour grocery store. That's what Savannah said happened. Does this kidnapper know about that? Does this kidnapper know that when Savannah Guthrie was only 16 years old, that her daddy died in Sonora, Mexico? They sure are mentioning it in the notes. Was she taken to Mexico? Short ride south in that trunk. Or, which is more usual statistically speaking, would they have put her in the desert if she had passed? Statistically speaking, you would dump any body very close to the scene. Statistically speaking. And that's why you saw that sniffer that was trying to see if they could make the pacemaker. Again, it was a Hail Mary shot in the dark because of the distance between the helicopter to the ground. But, you know, it's an opportunity to practice with that sort of equipment. A real life situation to practice with it. And then maybe you get lucky. Maybe, as Dale Lundberg says, maybe God intercedes. That's what he calls it. You know, when he would have these cases and then he'd say, and you know what? God interceded, right? It was cold. They weren't making it. They weren't going to make the case. And then bam, something was disclosed that helped them solve it. Karen, were you able to find out if FBI got data from Mexico Walmarts? Thanks. So I don't know the answer specifically to that question, but I can tell you this. I 100%, unless they have just fallen down on the job, which I don't believe, that they would have gotten information from Walmarts in Mexico as well as Walmarts throughout this region. It just doesn't make any other sense than that they would have sought that based on the proximity, the ease to go over the border. It just wouldn't make any other sense. Let me get Mr. Espinoza. Great question. Mr. Espinoza, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining the channel. I appreciate it. I always say there's no greater accolade than to have people become members and all the people who have donated memberships. It's just the best accolade to have you all want to be a part of this group. So thank you. This is the thing I'm going to say. And I know it might be somewhat controversial. And I think everybody realizes that I very, very thoroughly support the Guthrie family. I don't think any of them are involved. We still have our deep dives to do with Savannah's husband and with Cameron, the son. So those deep dives are coming. They just take a while to deep dive. And the less publicly that they're in the news, it's harder. And of course, I want to show you all the different statements that are out there that are implicating these people, right? It's very important that you see why I'm spending any time on information concerning Annie, why I'm spending time on information concerning Tommaso, Savannah, all the accusations that are out there and that exist. Thankfully, of course, mainstream media is not spinning it as if it's real. But on social media, all over, whether it's TikTok, whether it's IG, whether it's Twitter, it's all over. YouTube, oh my gosh, channels are making money hand over fist, blaming Tommaso and Annie. It's unbelievable what's happening. And I pray they are sued. I really do. The ones that are out there doing it right now, they need to be sued. I just can't imagine being a family member. Having said that, I'm going to put this out there. When I look at a case, and I say, if you have a missing loved one, and I have people ask me this all the time. They DM me about somebody they know. There's a situation that comes up. They email me. They otherwise get a hold of me. And they say, Jen, what do I tell this person? Or what do you recommend for this? Somebody, you know, who has a missing person. And I say, please go back and watch how the Petitos and the Schmidts handled when Gabby Petito was missing. Remember, Gabby Petito was a missing case. That's what it was. It wasn't a murder. It wasn't foul play. Initially, it was a missing case. There was no evidence of foul play. But I tell you what, in a lot of ways, early on, it was treated as if it was going to end up being a homicide. Certainly, after the Bethunes happened to see that white van, because they're not newsies, they're not true crimers, they were just plunking around in the Grand Tetons and scrolling through social media and saw that van and had recalled seeing it when they were driving through the Tetons. Other than that, my belief is, we never find Gabby Petito. Brian Laundrie is dumb, fat, and happy, working for his parents in their smoothie shop. and life would have gone on, and the Schmidt and Petito families would have continued to be terrorized by what they thought probably happened and what no one could ever prove without a body. And remember, the crime happened in the Grand Tetons. That's where he smashed her face and strangled her to death, not in the van. So there wouldn't have been evidence in the little white van. Remember, they took the little white van, searched the little white van. So I don't think he ever would have obviously taken his life. He took his life because he knew the clock was ticking once she was found. That's why he took his life. Not because of his sorrow over Gabby, because he didn't want to get found. So why do I bring this up? I bring this up because, and I'm just going to be honest, and I wish the Guthrie family, whoever they decided to make this spokesperson, I wish they would come forward in the same type of manner as the Petitos and the Schmidts. Not with their hearts on their sleeves, begging to some sick, terroristic ransom note writer and likely murderer, at least with the first two, but on their own accord, begging the public for help with a consistent and repeated daily, every other day, weekly message, begging for the public's help in Tucson, having rallies, insisting that these be changed to Porch Guy. Because I guarantee if the family went to the Bureau would listen. The Bureau wants to help this family with their blessing. I'm just saying that's what I would want to see. And I know why the Bureau is dragging their feet and doesn't necessarily want Porch Guy's picture all over the place. It's because there's going to be more individuals, just like in the first two cases, remember where they did the raids and they did the detainments and they had search warrants signed. And remember, one was a local warrant and one was a federal warrant, which is why I keep saying the feds, from a prosecution standpoint, are way more involved in this than people are giving it credit for, even though Nano says he's still in charge. And I keep forgetting to put up that where he says that recently within the past week, that he's the man still and not the Bureau, even though they're in Phoenix in a FBI task force setting. Nevertheless, it's true. If she didn't end up getting taken to Mexico or over state lines, or they didn't come from Mexico or over state lines to do this, it's squarely in the venue of Pima County, not the FBI. Squarely in their venue, even though the FBI has given up so many research, resources, 100 agents, even though all of that, it's Pima County's case. It's Pima County's case. So I'm just saying this is something I personally would love to see. I would love to see a full-on effort by the family, even if she does it in New York. It doesn't matter. Can you imagine? I can't imagine NBC saying no to Savannah if she said, listen, every day I need a 3-minute commercial about my mom, just to get the word out there, to show his face, a Porch Guy commercial. Let me tell you, millions watch NBC. Millions watch these major ABC, CBS, NBC. Those are the major networks that exist. And you're going to tell me they're going to turn their back on her? Nah. And then in person, even if it's not you, if it's your cousin, if it's Annie, it's Tommaso, whoever, somebody coming out in Tucson where this all happened and where the crux of the investigation has been and where I believe this case is centralized too, meaning this just seems personal to me, you guys, in part. Really personal. And I say that because of the follow-up two notes. That wasn't to do anything but to crush this family further. I just want to see an information stream out there. And if the Bureau doesn't want that because they're worried about all these calls coming in, like what happened at the beginning, and then they're rallying SWAT and HRT and all these people to do these big arrests, and then it comes up zero because the person that thought it was, that was on the peripheral, that wanted the 1.2 million and turned their, you know, coworker in, and it didn't end up being them, or cousin, or whatever the case may be, they don't want all those roads that they have to run down. I get that. But if I have the money, I set up my own call bank and hire my own people at this point, and then feed that information to the Bureau after it is triage, so you get the wackadoodles out, because you're going to get crazies and all sorts of information that isn't true. But when you get the one that actually makes some sense, the one that is logical, the one that doesn't seem like a wackadoodle, and you have a straight line to the Bureau, please take a look at this. I'm just putting out ideas there that make a lot of sense of things that would be nice to see. The DNA is great. I'm so glad it's at the FBI lab. I hope it's the end road that leads to this case being solved. But everyone, that hair, it's going to take a while, right? It doesn't have the root. That doesn't mean it can't be solved. Rex Heerman's hair didn't have the root. It doesn't matter anymore. They have the technology now. You don't need a root. A root's quicker, but you don't need a root. To get a profile, to get enough markers where it can be compared to the 23andMe's and the Ancestry.com's, and you hope that somebody who's related to Porchgut has sent a DNA sample into that for comparison. That's how it's all working. That's IgG. That's what they're going to try to do with that hair. And what happens if it comes back to, you know, literally the sister of a housekeeper because she brushed her hair that morning and then went to go work and, you know, the hair ends up at Nancy's. I'm hoping, they already know, I guarantee. They know whether it's a male hair. They know what kind of a hair it is. Is it pubic hair? Is it a mustache hair? Is it an eyebrow hair? They're going to know a lot of this already. They might even know the ethnicity. That's what I was asking before. Do they know the ethnicity? I think they could. They just don't know. They don't have enough markers to IgG it yet, but they're going to get there. But I think we need to be cautiously optimistic that it's going to be related to this case, related to the perpetrators, cautiously optimistic. But she lived in that house 50 years. I can tell you, and the house I live in, I've talked about this before, I'm sure it's the same with yours. Think of all the people that have been in this in your house. If you ever had a party, no matter how good your housekeepers were, but if it was found in her bed, that's different. I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying, if this is a mustache hair found in her bed, that could be really interesting. Anyway, these are the reasons why I believe the six reasons I named are the reasons I believe nobody's come forward, and that we maybe never hear from somebody. I still say Porch Guy is the most reliable piece of evidence, meaning we know he grabbed down. We know he committed the crime, at least him, but we know he did. He committed the abduction. We know that. And that's why I say it's the most reliable piece of evidence we have. The hair, we're hoping. Other DNA that's been found, because we know there's other DNA, right? We know there's, Nanos has talked about it many times, this mixture that has more than two profiles. And we've heard talked about right here with Dr. Fitzpatrick, that's going to be virtually impossible that they don't have what they need to now with three profiles to figure. I'm literally like picturing blood and picturing all this DNA proteins, because it's proteins, right, that are all mixed in there, and them trying to figure out which protein goes with which one. You know? I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing what they can do at all. Well, I think that's going to be a tough one. This hair could be what solves the case. It could be the sheath of the Idaho 4 case. But this, just imagine if we had Brian Koberger like this. Imagine if there would have been a Nestor Ring camera that had him. Wow, that would have been solved even earlier, before the 5 weeks it took to do the DNA IgG on the sample. And remember, the sample they had on the sheath, that was one sample, not a mixed sample. It was only Brian Koberger. And they knew on the sheath it meant something. Whereas if it would have been in the bed or on a floor or on a banister or in the kitchen or whatever, it doesn't mean what it means to be on the holder of the murder weapon. That's what I mean by saying this. Where this hair was found is as important as anything. So let's hope that leads the way. Karen Kingry, 6142, thank you so much for becoming a member. And I love that picture. Looks like that could be either your son maybe. Anyway, thank you so much for becoming a member. Everyone, thank you for spending your morning with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you to the mods who are the best in the business. If you become a member, you get to use these emojis that she made. It's like an emoji library, so you can just stick it up there. And when you are chatting and when it comes up, I can glance down and see kind of your thoughts, right? It might just be a ribbon. It could be an FBI badge, whatever it might be, but it's kind of fun. I know a lot of other channels, I guess, are doing this, but these are the best I've ever seen. They are really, really good. Hopefully, if you're a member, you're going to be using those. Also, in 6 months from the date the FBI got involved, so from about the 4th or the 3rd, I think probably the 3rd they actually got involved, of February, 6 months, we're going to have, if the case isn't solved by then, I'm going to pick a name from the members that are $3.99 or above members a month. And I've got a little FBI kind of, small basket things for you that I'm going to send you just to say thank you. It's hard to say thank you to everybody, but I'm going to continue doing things like this. Also, by the way, we do have merch. It's actually sitting up on my counter right now. I've had it there for weeks and it wasn't correctly done. Unfortunately, they spelled some things wrong, blah, blah. So they're redoing it, and it's nothing fancy. But it's going to be Cuss and Discuss pen to support Nancy. It's going to be yellow. And it's kind of a mustardy shade of yellow. And the price is probably going to be, because obviously I've got to ship it and do all these things, but it's probably going to be for non-members $12 and for members $10. But should have a stylist on it and be a really good high-quality pen. So we're going to start with that. I know it's starting really small, but to me, you could use it to take notes. I take notes copiously. I have so many of these notebooks that are filled up with notes on all these cases. So anyway, I hope that some of you might want to order those pens. Again, we're starting small. We're not starting with sweatshirts or all the other things I want to do in the future. But anyway, we'll see how the pens go. And if people have any interest in that, we'll have one price, as I said, for members, and another price for everyone else as another perk for membership. And again, I just want to thank you all for being here. And until next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.